5, 6, 7, 8.
Spring. Yeah. Sprung.
Spring is sprung. She's springing all over the place.
She's springing. All right. Let's spring in Stars Hollow. Here we go. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Gilmore to Say with Tara and Haley. I'm Tara. This is Haley. Hi, Haley.
Hi, Tara.
Spring is sprung. What was this?
I don't know. So have my hands.
Haley is very hands today.
I know. All you're hands. About to say handsy. I was about to say handsy,
but I didn't want to imply anything.
Yeah. I'm gesticulating a lot. If you're on YouTube, yeah. You're like, put those away.
Put those down.
Yeah, maybe there's an audio episode.
Speaking of the visual of it all, you look so cute. When you came on for our meeting earlier, you look so beautiful. You were in your lavender era. You've got lilacs, whether they're real or not is out for debate.
Yeah,
you're wearing your lavender button down. Are those lilacs? Yeah.
I think they're hydrangeas? Fake hydrangeas. Yeah.
Oh,
we've
okay.
got all well, fake plants behind me because
they look beautiful.
Yeah, I've actually had them for a really long time and they really held up. But yeah, I can't do real flowers right now.
Because spring has sprung.
Spring has sprung, and I love the like aesthetic of spring, you know, because mm-hmm. I've even said that like I think that as a season Logan is spring. Like I love the way it looks. I love like the cottagecore, like folklore, Betty's garden vibes, but like me in spring, the biggest of enemies. I hate spring.
Yeah, you guys are rivals. You're little nemmies.
Yeah.
Spring is your nemmy.
Yeah, I had to get I went to the ENT. I'm getting a CT of my sinuses because things are so bad. Because like
are brutal.
He basically just said, "Stay inside in the meantime." And I was like, "Okay, I'll just observe."
I'll bring the flowers inside.
Yeah, I will. Actually, will bring fake flowers inside. Yeah. And not
still
the real
keep the
flowers
vibes alive.
Yeah, I keep the vibes. It's all about the vibes for me because I feel like spring is just so beautiful. You know, just such
really
a nice time. Which really leads us perfectly because I forgot to mention in our last episode what our book club picks are for April.
Lay them on us.
The first one for reading is sexy is called Practice Makes Perfect. And in this book, Annie owns a flower shop. So I feel like it's like perfect for spring.
How fitting.
Yeah.
Oh, I love when characters own a flower shop.
I know.
Or a bookshop. It's giving, oh my God, you've got mail.
Yes. And her brother owns the town bakery. She's one of four siblings and she's the youngest.
I
know. There's the first one. The first one is called When in Rome and it's about her brother's romance. And it's kind of, it's not spoiler-y for the first one, but Practice Makes Perfect is about Annie, who's the youngest of her four siblings. And they all see her as a baby and they all see her as kind of like boring. And she's told so on a date. She's trying to find her life partner, fall in love, the love of her life. And the date she goes on tells her that she's boring. And so she decides she needs some practice, like practice dating, trying to be fun, figure out how to like find someone. And the person who is helping her is her brother's wife's bodyguard, Will.
Okay, I thought you were going to say it was her brother. I was like, this is a weird one.
It's not that small of a town.
I was like, and then she practices.
And then she practices
her
with her brother.
No,
I will not disparage Sarah Adams in that way because this is a great book. But it
anyway,
is
keep
the
going.
Tattooed bodyguard of her sister-in-law, who's like a pop star that if you read Win in Rome, you'll learn all about her. But he really likes Amelia, but the thing, not Amelia, Annie. Amelia is the person that he protects. Annie, rather. He really likes Annie, but he knows that he needs to stay away from her. But he can't help but help her. And I really love the little like end tagline here. Kind of made me start crying, but I'm so quick to cry while reading. It says, amid steamy practice dates and strictly educational tutoring lessons, Annie discovers that there are more layers to Will's usual stoic attitude. As the lines of their friendship become dangerously blurred, Annie reconsiders her dream guy. Maybe her love life doesn't need to be perfect. It just needs to be real.
Okay, teach me tonight.
I know. Like, it just feels like, and like, this really does feel like someone you shouldn't be with, but like, you guys are going to like, get a little bit of like a love tutor. But it's in a small town, and Sarah Adams does small town really well if you want to read her first book. But I'm really excited about it because she really loves Gilmore Girls, and I'm going to try and get her on the podcast.
Oh, I'm so excited. That sounds great. What a great pick. Per usual, you know, I always
think
you knock it out of the park with these.
And I think that you will like Where You Read, I Will Follow, because I have mentioned this before, and I mentioned this in our book club, because I know we're doing kind of like 2 months, but I feel like these two books that I've chosen, you can choose one or the other or read both, are kind of shorter, kind of easier to digest than books we've picked in the past. And there are two people that we really love. They kind of get disparaged quite a bit on the show. And those two people are Britney Spears and Jessica Simpson. So I decided for the month of April and May, we will read their memoirs.
Wow. I love that.
Yeah. So we're going to read.
What are they called?
The Woman in Me is by Britney Spears.
Of course.
It says, The Woman in Me is a brave and astonishing moving story about freedom, fame, motherhood, survival, faith, and hope. So I love the idea of, like, you know, they don't have, like, a lot of great things to say about Britney's music, but I would like to, you know, get to know the woman in her, the woman in me.
I'm not a girl, not yet a woman.
Exactly.
But she is. So
the other one is, of course, Jessica Simpson, and it's called Open Book. And in this number one New York Times bestseller, Jessica reveals for the first time her inner monologue and most intimate struggles, guided by the journals she's kept since age 15 and brimming with her unique humor and down-to-earth humanity, is as inspiring as it is entertaining. So okay. I thought you can pick one to read over the next 2 months. You can pick both of them.
Yeah.
We will do, on Fable, we'll do Jessica in April, that's right. And then we'll do Britney in May. So whatever
I love those picks. So perfect. Is the Britney Spears memoir the one that Michelle Williams does the audiobook for? Narrates the audiobook for?
I don't know.
It's the one that came out last year, yes?
Yes,
that was like breaking the internet.
Yeah.
That's Michelle Williams narrating the audiobook. And apparently everybody wanted her to get nominated for like an Emmy or Grammy or something for it. Like whatever award you would give to somebody for an audiobook, I believe it would be an Emmy.
An Emmy. I think they do audiobook Emmys.
I think they do. And everybody was raving about her, you know, portrayal of reading. I don't know what you would call it. Of
the performance,
this
I would
the
guess.
The performance.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I heard it was absolutely.
Maybe I'll have to listen to the audiobook then.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing. You might have to. I've been looking for one because I like to do all my activities because, you know, like spring cleaning. That's kind of the mindset that
it's
I'm in right
time.
Now.
It's
so I need a book. So maybe I'll do that one. But those are our two clubs, three books, kind of unusual for this time. But I thought, like, I didn't really want to pick between the two of them. I kind of want to let you pick or you can do both. But
I love that.
That's the book
Give
club.
Give everybody the agency to pick whichever they want.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. That's so fun. I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited for spring. I'm excited for these books that you've chosen. And more specifically, I'm excited for this episode today.
I know. I'm so excited.
We were kind of stumped on how to do this because, as you all know, we did How to Have a Gilmore Girls Fall. And then we kind of did a little How to Have a Gilmore Girls Winter. And here we are. We've arrived at the next season. It's time for spring.
Yeah.
And Haley
today,
and
as we're
like,
recording this, is the first day of spring.
It is?
It's the first day of spring. Yeah.
I thought the 22nd was the first day of spring.
No, today's the first day of spring.
Wow.
Welcome.
I had no idea. It's deceiving because it's 40 degrees in New York right now. Last week it was spring here in New York, but this week it is very, very confusing.
Technically, today is spring.
Today I learned something new. Anyway.
Not to be confused, though. So the day this airs, it is not the first day of spring. It is the day of this recording that it is
the first day of spring
on the 19th.
Had no idea. I always thought it was on the 21st.
I think that's summer kind of rotates between like the 21st and the 22nd. Oh, fall?
The 22nd. Fall as well.
I don't know. It's
split with
equinox.
Well, I guess spring is a little spring is a little outlier. It's a little rebel. Anyway, with spring, you know, we were a little stumped because I feel like with fall and winter, very easy. Gilmore Girls is comfy, cozy, soup, blanket, hunkering down.
Yeah, soup
and,
blanket.
Yeah, soup blanket. Exactly. Where spring, we were like, that's not really the first season we think of when we think of Stars Hollow. But as we got into it, we were like, wow, so much happens in the spring on this show.
Yeah. And in A Spring to Remember, what we were talking about is that it doesn't necessarily feel like spring sometimes because of the wardrobe, because of like the choices that they make, that like it's just like the other version of fall where it's not quite summer, it's not quite winter, but they're still wearing their corduroy, their sherpa. So it kind of feels like fall until I feel like season 4 and 5 when they get a little bit into their pink era.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pink era is big on the show for kind of winter into spring. I mean, speaking of the weather in New York, here in the Northeast, like spring really doesn't spring until April, May, because it's just so unpredictable. Like last week we were just basking in 60 degree weather and today it is 40 degrees. So I'm literally going to walk outside later today in my parka, and it's the first day of spring. So I understand why some of those episodes do feel very like, oh, we're still kind of in winter. It just feels like winter is a very long extension until all of a sudden it's like graduation or end of school or something on Gilmore Girls. But I feel like they do really lean in season four, especially in Girls in Bikinis, Boys Doing the Twist.
Yes.
Spring break, it's like, this is the first time we're really talking about spring break, even though Rory definitely had spring break 100%. In high school.
She had
something so different about it happening in college. Spring break in college is very different, as we come to find out, especially in that episode, because Rory and Paris feel very pressured to do spring break the college way and to go down to Florida and to, you know, see the girls in bikinis, see the boys doing the twist. And
yeah.
It is just not their speed. It is not for them. They did it. They tried it. Great.
But you just described why they did that, because it's like still 40 degrees in New York right now.
1,000%. My mom just went to Florida because she was like, I need to get out of here.
Your mom is Girls in Bikinis. And
my mom is a girl in the, yeah, she may be either one. I don't know. She's either in a bikini or she's doing the twist.
You know what I realized I just wrote in this is Boys in Bikinis. Like, I always mix that up. Like, I wrote that down as like us talking about spring break here. I wrote down Boys in Bikinis, Girls Doing the Twist.
Oh, you did?
No, I wrote it in my notes.
I don't see it.
No. But I always do that. I just notice that. I always mix that up. But
that's so funny.
They do find that that's not really for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that is true of me too. That version of spring break is not for me.
No. No. I know that in the next season, she kind of spends her spring break at home, right? She kind of sticks around. She's with her mom. Like,
she wants to make some money. Because she's going to work at the bookstore.
The bookstore, right.
Yeah.
Like, for me, as much as I love a getaway and a little vacation, I know you love the beach.
Mm-hmm.
That vibe of, like, spring break is just
not that beach.
I don't want to go to that beach.
Can you do that again? Can you say spring break like that again?
I will never do that ever again. You got it once. Roll the tape. Spring break.
Perfect. I have it forever, really.
It's true. It is being recorded. Yeah. But I am the kind of person, and even in college I was this way, I would spend spring break at home. I loved it. I loved, like, coming home, and I didn't live in a picturesque small town, but, like, my ideal spring break would be, like, going home. I'm going to have somebody bid on my basket. I am going to go to the Twickham house and day drink. I am going to go to the bookstore and go to
Weston. Bid on my basket, out of context, like going back to my hometown and having someone bid on my basket sounds like an innuendo.
I am. I'm going to have somebody.
You can come bid on my basket.
You can come bid on my basket. I don't know. It just sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of spring break that's an ideal spring break to me. Like, I want a break. I want a break from everything I'm doing, especially if I was going to a school as rigorous as Yale.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to lay in my bed for 4 days straight.
I literally am like, get me a sarcophagus and put me inside. I don't want to see anyone.
My coffin spring break.
Precisely.
Sure.
That's all I want. What about you? I think I know the answer, but what about you? How are you spending your spring break?
You know, like, same, not doing much. I went on like one spring break, like, quote unquote spring break, in college, and it was a cruise, but I went with my parents and my little sister because, like, she was in high school and our spring breaks aligned. Mm-hmm. But even that was like a lot for me. Like, I don't want to, like, I'm not a party person. I don't want to, like, go get, like, wasted on the beach like it's seeming like these people are doing. I don't want to go swim laps in the ocean like Janet. I want to sit. I want a Paris spring break. I want to sit. I want someone bringing me iced tea all day long. And if not, I want to be at home.
Correct. I loved, like, we talked about this on Patreon when we were covering Girls in Bikinis, Boys Doing the Twist, which at the time we're recording this, we just released. I was so surprised to hear that it is a lot of people's least favorite episode. Did you see that?
Yeah. People were
like,
many
I don't
members.
Like this episode.
Yeah.
And I was like, how? How do you not? I love that episode. But I, like, kind of forgot about all the little things that happen and the little ways that everybody is spending their spring break, even though they're all together. And I agree, Paris's, where she's in her big sun hat and she's like drenched head to toe in sunscreen and she's wearing her little white button down and she's under this big tent. She's got people bringing her chairs and bringing her fruit plates and bringing her iced tea. I'm like, that's me.
That's the dream. And if you can't do that, 1,000% the dream. I'm going to be at home. But one of the things is, I was like, a lot of people are in high school or in college who listen to the podcast, and they're going on spring break and they're doing the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people are a lot older. And I was like thinking of like in our past two episodes of like fall and winter, like how to have the Gilmore Girls fall and winter. Those are like so easy. But like I was like, how could you have a spring break as an adult? And I think that like the break part is really it. It's like take mm-hmm. like a Friday evening and a Saturday, maybe a Sunday morning, and be like, this is my break. I'm not going to plan anything. Like, no one can make me do anything. And just, like, spend those days exactly how you would want to, whether it's, like, filled with all the other things we're going to mention this episode, or just, you know, as Tara is going to do, get her sarcophagus and just...
No, I think I'd much prefer somebody to bid on my basket and go day drinking.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's what I want.
Like, a little weekend spring break, but just, like, zero in on the break part.
Yeah, it's true. But speaking of a tisket a tasket, when I think of spring, even though we were talking about this when we were planning the episode, we were like, what happens in the spring? And Haley was like, well, there's a spring break episode. And I was like, there is. Yeah. I always forget about that. My go-to, and I think I mentioned this in our fall, like how to have a Gilmore Girls fall episode, that I felt like a tisket a tasket feels like a fall episode.
Yeah.
Even though it's a spring episode, it feels like a fall episode. But when I think of spring episodes, this is the first one that comes to mind because it is technically in the spring. It's one of my favorite episodes. It's a banger. Like, it's a hit.
It's so good. I'm pretty sure this is the episode in on Patreon where I was like starting to be Team Jess a little bit.
Ooh.
Like, I remember being like, I've got all the Jess feels.
Well,
like,
of course. How could you not? I mean, this is kind of the only like spring event that happens. Not the only. I know they have the hay bale maze. And I know that, you know, there are events that happen in the spring. Like the Twickham House happens in the spring. But that wasn't like a town event like the Bit of Basket.
Yeah.
Something that feels like it happens every single year. Everything that happens with the Twickham House and the museum and all of that is purely circumstantial. It is because Old Man Twickham has died. And that is the only reason that this is happening. Whereas the Bit of Basket is an annual thing. It's like the dance marathon. So it feels like a town event. And there's something so special about it. It's such a pivotal episode. You get so many fun little dates on this one.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so, so good. So what I want to do is I want each of us to build a basket that someone would bid on. And then I want you to tell me and I'll tell you who is bidding on your basket.
Okay. I'm excited.
Do you want to go first? You want me to go first?
You go first.
Okay, I'll go first. Okay, so I am a basic lady and I love a charcuterie board.
Ooh, I knew it. I knew you were going to charcuterie.
So Brett and I love to go on picnics, even here in the city. We both live near Central Park, so we like to go to Central Park, lay out a little blanket, bring a bunch of stuff. And for me, I will always bring something that is like a charcuterie board. I'm talking like fresh fruit, crackers, cheeses, like veggies, dips, everything. And I feel like if I were to do that in Stars Hollow form, it would be Suki's pretzel basket.
Oh, nice. So are you buying this from Suki?
I'm going to commission Suki to make it.
Okay, great.
For me. Everything else I would like to be able to eat it.
Okay.
Here's the question mark over Suki's basket for me. Did they intend to eat it after all those hands touched it?
Yeah, Suki's pretzel basket needs to go in a regular basket so that I am the first one to touch it.
Correct.
When it goes in my mouth.
Yes. So I would love to get a bunch of dips for the pretzel basket. That's kind of what you do at the end.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like as you're eating it.
Stuffed with something too.
Yes,
goat cheese or something.
Goat cheese with a goat cheese filling, which for me, I love goat cheese. Goat cheese and honey, like that to me is very spring. Very spring. So I would love that. I would love to fill it with like fruits and maybe even little deli meats like prosciutto. I love a prosciutto.
Yes, love prosciutto.
I love to make those little roses out of the pepperoni.
Yes.
I love a pepperoni,
love
rose. I'm not a pepperoni eater. Like I'll have it on my pizza. I know you're not a pizza fan. I'm not a pepperoni eater, but I am a pepperoni rose maker.
Okay. I'll come eat your pepperoni.
Thank you.
That also sounded like
bit of my basket, eat my pepperoni. Anyway, I love to also kind of like, I would love to make it look very picturesque inside of the pretzel basket, like make the rose almost like you would with a charcuterie board.
So you kind of like, it's the charcuterie board is inside the basket, so you don't have to pull anything out, because that's what I was going to say. It's like, it's a lot to bring out and assemble.
You know what would be interesting is if the pretzel basket unfolded into a board.
Whoa.
Into like a platform. I'm getting really excited here.
Yeah. Suki has a lot to do.
Yeah. Suki has a lot to really, it's not just a basket. It's also, it also unfolds into a board.
Wow.
But I usually like to go to Trader Joe's here. So I would go to Dosey's Market, Trader Taylor's, if you will, and get all my stuff.
Trader Taylor's, of course. Or Trader Troubadour, who works at Kinko's.
Yes, Kinko's, Troubadour, Taylor's, Trader Joe's, Troubadour Joe's, to Taylor, Trader Troubadour's.
Uh-huh. Those all were words.
That was word salad. Anyway, for drinks, I am a big iced tea girl. I'm a big LaCroix girl. Recess, you know, so like anything like that, I'd probably go with an iced tea if we just had to bring one and have a nice little picnic blanket and have somebody bid on my basket.
That sounds amazing. I would like to bid on your basket, please.
Really?
Yeah.
I was hoping you'd say that.
As long as there's like cheeses separated from everything else,
I like to separate everything. I don't like to kind of like I blend in the sense that there are sections of things when I build a charcuterie board.
But so they're not like all overlapping.
No. The only thing I might do is like sprinkle nuts, like walnuts or almonds or something, like for decor everywhere. But that's really it.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Haley, I feel like most of our followers already know that we don't really drink alcohol, but we do love a fun beverage.
Oh, we do. Both of us think a fun beverage and a chill night is the epitome of a good time, especially when that drink is a recess mood, which is a delicious sparkling water infused with functional ingredients like mood-lifting magnesium and stress-balancing adaptogens, so you can relax without the alcohol. I drink mine every night while reading, of course. Tara, tell everyone how you enjoy yours.
Honestly, I usually drink mine while we're recording the podcast. It's my favorite way to enjoy a recess.
And all of our besties can get 15% off the Recess Mood Sampler Pack at takearecess.com/GTS.
Recess Mood is made with real fruit and comes in four delicious flavors like strawberry rose and raspberry lemon. But my personal favorite is the grapefruit tangerine. And with only 20 calories and no added sugar, it's the perfect way to chill.
You deserve a healthier way to unwind. Head to takearecess.com/GTS and get 15% off Recess Mood, your go-to alcohol replacement.
Tell me about yours.
Sure. So in the same way, I am like going to equal parts commission other people for this as well as bake, because I'm kind of in my baking era right now, I would say.
Yeah.
Been cooking and baking a lot.
Oh, and your sister-in-law has been baking amazing bread.
So yes, Mandy has been on like a sourdough like kick. Like she has been making bread every single day. I have had fresh bread to eat for like, I don't know, weeks now. Like she makes amazing bread.
Good flavors like the rosemary. I'm sorry, put rosemary in anything. Like also sometimes decorate my charcuterie boards with rosemary because I just want it to be there.
So this is kind of going to be a carb basket where I have commissioned Mandy to make some breads for me. So I'm going to have her do the rosemary garlic because she has perfected that and it is just so good. She added minced garlic the last time that she made it. Delightful. She is talking about making a caramelized onion one, so I'm going to ask her to do that one because I think that'd be really good. And something fresh, which is a lemon dill. And so we're going to have some breads. I'm going to bring a little bit of olive oil, which like I could drink olive oil straight from the bottle, but like
truly
we will not be doing that at this picnic.
You know what else I love is a jam. I love to add a jam. Like speaking of the goat cheese and honey, that combination that I love, I also love like a little
fig jam. Yes.
On a cracker.
100%.
With some goat cheese.
Yes. That sounds great.
Oh, I love it.
Sounds simply amazing. So I'm going to bring some olive oil and some balsamic. And I feel like mixing those together, a little fresh pepper, doing some dips. Maybe some, you know, I haven't thought about spreads. I saw someone make a homemade caramelized onion dip the other day. I feel like that would be really good with.
Are you a hummus girl?
I love hummus. Yes. I
love hummus.
So I'm also bringing some fruits, but I also want to have some sweets. So I'm going to make some homemade, why am I forgetting the word of when a strawberry is covered in chocolate? Chocolate covered strawberry.
You know I love chocolate covered strawberries.
I know. So I'm going to do that. But good. I'm also going to do some like a fruit salad, you know, not just half the chocolate.
Love a fruit salad. So good for you.
But I'm also going to make some homemade croissants because I know that you know I've been trying to do that.
Yes.
And like make them vegan. And I'm going to put some jam on that, like a strawberry jam. And just like just carbs, just straight up carbs and fruits.
Carbs and fruits.
Yeah. And we're going to have recess to drink. Specifically the raspberry lemon or the strawberry rose, because those are my two favorite. I'm drinking right
strawberry rose now. It's true, if you're with us on YouTube, she has strawberry rose. I'm so surprised that has become one of your faves.
I love it. Like, it's just like something so refreshing about it. Every time my mom has one, she's like, these are spring summer drinks, we need to have these on a picnic. So we will be putting it in our basket. But I also, you said iced tea, and I was like, I've been making a lot of iced tea lately.
I love iced tea.
So maybe I'm going to throw that in too.
Especially in the springtime. Can I tell you, when I was living at home with my grandma during COVID, my best friend Liz, her mom lives up the street from my grandma, and she was living with her mom at the time. So we would socially distanced at that point, of course, because this was like spring 2020. I would open my grandma's garage. We would sit outside with like a little table and two chairs and have iced tea and turkey sandwiches. And it was the highlight of my spring in 2020. It was so lovely. Like, when I think of having iced tea and sandwiches, I just think of sitting with my best friend. We're like, you know, approaching 30. We've known each other for decades now at this point. Just sitting, talking about like, hey, do you think the world's going to end tomorrow? I don't know.
Why would you like some more iced tea? Y'all wearing little like white gloves, like little lace white gloves, little doilies on the table.
Truly. It's true. It was so lovely. We just would be like, hey, like we'd grab like our lawn chairs, beach chairs, whatever, and just sit and bring out my grandma's little table. And we would just sit outside in the driveway and have a great
time. That's nice. That would also be a good thing in your picnic basket, is a turkey sandwich. Because I went for more of like a snack basket versus like a lunch basket.
I feel like a picnic usually calls for a charcuterie board. But something else that I used to do a lot with my family, and I still do whenever I go, is we travel to Saratoga Springs, New York every summer. It's like my mom's happy place. She's been going since the 70s. And we will have picnics sometimes where we go to the grocery store. We get rolls and we get deli meats like roast beef and turkey. And we will just sit and eat these sandwiches. And there's just something so satisfying about eating a little sandwich with the people that you like.
I kind of like the idea of also like making a picnic basket full of like build your own sandwich.
Mm-hmm. That'd be fun. Very fun, especially with the bread that Mandy's making.
The bread. Oh my gosh. Yes.
I love it. I need the bread.
I know. I didn't have any bread this morning because she didn't make it in time. How rude. So I'm going to have bread tomorrow, but I didn't have fresh bread today. And like, it's really hard for me.
Poor Mandy.
No one has ever lived a life as hard as mine.
Yeah. Wow. I'm so sorry. You're so brave. Anyway, who's bidding on your basket? Who's winning the bid on your basket?
Okay. So I thought about this a lot, and I actually think that I would like for Lorelai to bid on my basket and I will bid on hers, and we will have a nice little picnic. Whatever she put in there, I'm sure she put like some Pop-Tarts and like cookies and candies and things.
Yeah, two stale Pop-Tarts and a Slim Jim.
Exactly. But I'm hoping that maybe she went with not stale Pop-Tarts and maybe exchanged the Slim Jims for like some Malamars. Mm. And so we've got a little bit of sweetness in her basket, and then we can just actually eat mine and have hers just sitting next to my basket and just talk and just chat. Because I thought about it. Like, I was like, do I want someone to romantically bid on my basket? But I was like, she didn't have anyone to bid on her basket. And then Miss Patty set up someone to bid on her basket. Mm-hmm. And then she dragged Luke to do it. And I was like, you know what? Just as like a pal, just like a gal pal, I'm going to bid on her basket. And then I'm going to make her bid on mine so that we can have a nice little snack moment.
Yeah, maybe have a good time. She actually needs is, instead of somebody to clean out her rain gutters, she just needs some gal pal time.
Yeah, she just needs a friend, and we can sit and picnic on her lawn while Luke, or in this case, Jess, cleans out her rain gutters.
There you go.
I think it's great.
I love that. Great plan. Mastermind, even.
Yeah.
I love it.
What about you? Who's bidding on yours?
Oh, if Jess does not bid on my basket, I'm leaving. I'm taking my basket and I'm eating it by myself. If it's not Jess, I don't want it. But I will say another scenario that I think could be really fun is if I was kind of going the Lorelai angle and I somehow coerced Tom to put on my basket just so I could get things done, you know, around my house, but also spend time with Tom.
Oh, wait. You know, it'd be great. It's Jess and Tom both bidding on your basket. And in a strange turn of events, Tom, because he's an adult, has way more money than Jess.
Yeah, that is a strange turn of events.
Outbids him. And he says, basket maker. Jess, who didn't bring enough money?
That would be so delicious.
Yeah.
More delicious than my basket.
Yeah. Plot twist. Jess is empty-handed. He has to go have a picnic with Dean.
I would love to see that picnic.
What if you didn't win? Like, what if, like, there was, like, a consequence to not bidding? It's like you had to go on a picnic with, like there was, like, a terrible basket group. And you had to, like, pick one of them and be like, we're going on a picnic.
Yeah. Wow.
Or you had to go on a picnic with the other losers.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. If Jess and Dean both lost and they had to go on a picnic together, I would have loved nothing more than to see that. That would have been a lot of fun.
They just get a pizza, sit by the pond, the lake that Jess gets pushed into. Really just like
maybe Jess gets pushed into it again. Yeah.
Maybe both of them. They get beat. Yeah.
Lorelai needs a gal pal and they need just some time.
Yeah, just some chat time. Just sit,
have a pizza, get to know each other.
Yeah. It's a healing spring.
It's true. The next question that we pose to each other is like, what IRL picnic would you want to go to from the picnics that actually happen in a Tisket a Tasket? Like, which one would you want to go to in real life?
Part of me wants to go to the Jackson one simply because, like, the effort that he had to go to win Suki's basket back and then, like, casually propose to her, like, that's cute. But I also really love the idea of the Luke one of, like, you know what? We're not going to eat what's in my basket. I'm going to eat what you made. Like, I didn't actually have to put any effort forth because you are a cook.
It's true.
I don't know. There's a lot of good ones because, like, maybe I want to go on the Jess one and not actually eat anything and just dangle our feet and banter with each other.
I feel like the Jess one would be
an emotional picnic.
Yours. It's an emotional picnic because what they do decide to do is go get a pizza and go book shopping.
I know you don't like pizza, but I can get down with it sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like
I kind of like that. Like, so we're just right sitting, chilling, and it's like, actually, do you want to go do something else?
You want to go do something that
are
we
your
both
allergies
do?
Also acting up right now?
Yeah.
Should we go inside?
Exactly. I feel like that's the right one for you.
You're right. That's mine. But I'm not going to eat whatever was in there because Dean's an idiot.
Dean never
would have fallen for that.
Oh, I love it. You know, I wrestled with this myself because I love the Suki and Jackson one. You know that is my favorite proposal. Makes me cry every time. However, I feel like the Suki and Jackson one is sweet because of the circumstances. The actual picnic itself, despite the fact that I love her basket, I love the pretzel, the whole thing. It's just kind of like, it's a picnic.
Yeah. You know?
Everything else, the circumstances make it special, right?
Yeah. I do love, like, when I think of picnic, I think of Jackson laying on the blanket. Like, that's a picnic to me.
Me too. I love it. I think it's so sweet. So I'm inclined to pick that one. I also love the Jess and Rory one. I think it's very sweet. But again, the circumstances are what makes it very intriguing. The circumstances with Luke and Lorelai's do make it intriguing because there's so many undertones in their conversation while they're sitting in the gazebo. However, I think I would like that one. That's the one that I pick is Luke and Lorelai. I love the idea of somebody begrudgingly coming out to bid on your basket, looks inside and is like, two stale Pop-Tarts and a Slim Jim. I'm going to make us food. Like, comes back with it. And you get to sit in the gazebo and eat some of your favorite food and drink coffee and just, like, chat. Because it does end up being a friend date, even though the two of them clearly have feelings for each other. Yeah. But, like, it's just so good.
Does he go back inside for brownies or something? Am I making that up? Or cake? Or
I don't remember.
Doesn't he go back inside at the end of that? I might be making that up. But I'm just thinking about, like, you don't actually sit on the ground.
No, you get to sit in the gazebo and
someone
chat.
Prepare this for you. Yeah.
It's really nice.
Yeah.
It's
so really maybe neither of us actually want to go on a picnic. Maybe
we should. Yeah, maybe we just want to sit down.
Yeah.
Sit and eat inside.
Maybe I just want to sit down. Happy spring. Just sit down.
Anyway, happy spring. So the other major thing that happens, kind of speaking to events that happen and major life changes, is we get a lot of proposals, a lot of prom, well,
one
promposal, and a lot of weddings that happen in the springtime. We're going to kind of talk about our favorites and talk about which ones we love, but just kind of outline them. Let's start with the weddings. So we get Suki's wedding in season 2. Grand finale, everything building up to that is very spring, and her wedding itself is very spring. We get Liz's wedding, which is in Last Week Fights, This Week Tights, where we get the Kinko's Town Troubadour coming out, playing his little, what is that, a ukulele? Or is he a is it a guitar? Mm. It's definitely not either of those. It's like a very fancy kind of guitar. Say,
I forget what it's called. But it's like a Renaissance wedding. So that's like a...
Very fun.
The word is like on the... It's there, but I don't
remember. Does it begin with an L?
I can't think of any words that start with L, actually.
Great. Anyway, speaking of L, Lane. Lane gets married in the spring.
She does.
She has a nice spring wedding. And then in season 7, fake Mia gets married in the spring.
She does, that fake Mia.
Yeah. All very different weddings.
All very different weddings, because I actually forgot that Lane gets married in the spring. But I was timing-wise, it is not winter, so therefore it must be spring.
Yeah. Very true. Very, very good. Anyway. Proposals wise, we get Max's proposal to Lorelai.
Of course.
We get Jackson, of course, and Suki's engagement.
We just talked about cute, cute, cute.
So good. We get Lorelai proposing to Luke at the end of season 5. We don't know if Lane gets engaged in the spring season. I don't remember.
Why does everything in me not want to count it? Because it just feels like, I think like technically it's like on the edge, like on cusp. That's a cusp winter spring.
Right.
But I just want to call it winter because it's bleak.
Okay. There it is. And then of course, Logan proposes to Rory the end of season 7 when it is spring. Spring is springing.
That he does. And we just get one promposal.
But it's so good.
Is it really? Is he promposing to Lane or to Mrs. Kim? I feel like the promposal is to Mrs. Kim about Lane.
Yeah.
For Lane.
It's for Lane.
Yeah.
It's not for Mrs. Kim.
No. But it is for Mrs. Kim. Because he wants her to let Lane go with him.
Fair.
And not valid. Deal with all of the other nonsense that was surrounding this. So it's kind of... It's kind of fun that Dave proposes to Mrs. Kim to go with Lane.
I would have loved something like that. I would have loved any promposal. Did you ever get a promposal?
No. Do you want me to propose to you?
Sure. Spring it on me, though.
Spring it on you?
Spring it. Don't tell me it's coming. I want to be surprised.
When's prom? What is prom in this case? I think we need to establish that and then I can...
We'll establish rules after, but
we
got
a lot to discuss.
But a promposal, you know, I think that some of them have kind of gotten like a little out of hand. I do love they're sometimes very extreme.
I don't think promposal was as big at the time because I wouldn't necessarily say that Dave is promposing to her. We're like,
we're not talking like the signs and the, you know, all the things
flash
that people
dance,
do now.
Flash mob, brother.
Flash mob, yeah.
Yeah.
But it just was a very grand gesture. I don't know that it was intended to be, but he felt like he needed to make one in order to get this very, very rigid mom to agree to let the two of them go to the prom together. So that's why I think if not, he probably would have been a lot more low key about it.
Yeah.
But it just had me thinking about promposals and the way that people ask each other to go to this very important dance in your teenage years. You know, it's something that I at least grew up going, like looking forward to going to.
Yeah.
And I think like as I got closer, I always hoped that someone would very formally ask me.
Yeah.
But I went to 5 proms in high school.
How many years did you go to high school?
I went to high school for 4 years. I went to... Sophomore year, I went to my boyfriend at the time. He was a senior, so I went to his senior prom. Then I went to my junior prom with him the next year. And then my senior year, I went to three proms. So I went to
other schools.
I went to the junior prom. I went to someone else, my friend Steve. I went with him as his date to like the private Catholic school prom. And then I went to my own senior prom. Mm. So I went to a total of five. And I was asked twice. My boyfriend didn't ask me to go when I was a sophomore because we were dating. And I think he just, I don't know, so long ago now. That I don't think he was, just like
quite a while ago.
It was quite some time ago. We're coming up on like almost, oh my God, we're coming up on like almost 20 years ago that I went to my first prom. But
oh my
God. 17 years ago. That's insane. But with that said, you know, when I was asked, it wasn't this like big formal thing. And then when I went to my senior prom, I asked somebody else to go with me. So I didn't do like a big formal thing. I just like pulled him out into the hallway and I was like very nervous and asked, do you want to go to the
prom with me? Where was he that you pulled him out into the hall?
He was in the band room. I went with this guy who was in the band. His name was Pat. He was very, sweet.
Hey, Pat. Shout out, Pat.
Ran into him on the street about 8 years ago here in New York. We walked by each other and I was like, oh my God. And I remember I was with my best friend Danielle and we walked away and she was like, who's that? I was like, that's the guy I took to senior prom.
Wow.
So random. Well. Like very, very sweet guy. I don't think I ever talked to him again, even after that night. Not in any like negative way. Just
yeah.
I had a huge crush on him and I was like, yeah, let's go. Let's go together. And it was, I think I remember it being fun. I don't really fully remember all of the events. It was so long ago. But anyway, all of that is to say, like, I even had the opportunity to ask someone to go with me and I didn't make it a big deal. But
yeah,
there was kind of this pressure put on it to be like this big grandiose gesture. And what I love about Dave's here is that the reason for such a gesture was because of the circumstances, but it was big without being like egregious. It wasn't like a big sign. If you've done this to someone or if you've gotten a big sign,
it's proposing cute.
Is very cute.
It's very teenager. I love it.
It's so fun. But with Dave, it was very just like, this is who I am.
It's almost like an audition to be her date.
Yes. He's like laying his entire soul on the table for Mrs. Kim, reads the Bible in one night just so he can go to one dance with Lane Kim.
And I love that he does that because I feel like Lane, like a lot, like you mentioned that you like had always looked forward to going to your prom, that's how Lane is, that she's built that up in her mind, that she like is so excited about this. And so to have like that outsized excitement and enthusiasm for this thing, and then to have this person recognize that and be like, I am going to this damn prom with you. Like whatever it takes, I'm going to read the Bible in one night. I'm going to put everything on the table, like holding nothing back, leaving everything on the floor for your mom.
And she didn't even ask him to. And that was the part that I really loved, is that I felt like getting grand gestures like this felt like something I had to ask for when I was younger. And there was just something so lovely and iconic about him. He didn't have to ask her. He knew exactly what she wanted. And he gave it to her.
Yeah.
It was great.
Do we think, before we get into like the proposals of it all, do we think that this is more romantic than all of the proposals that happened in the spring?
It depends on your barometer for romance, right? I think that Suki and Jackson's. Possibly. Yeah. I think because it comes from a teenager, it's so like young teenage romance, you know, and you do things like that, you know, when you're a teenager. And I just think that it was very sweet. It was very innocent. Like it just had a lot of purity. Like it was so pure. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
His intentions were so pure.
Cinnamon.
And yeah, I love that he did that. I guess, yes. I think though that the reason that it was so heartfelt is because, you know, he's a teenager and
yeah. He really,
you know, he really put a lot of thought into it. And I think that when you become an adult, doesn't mean you can't put thought and heartfelt energy into a proposal. You should.
Yeah, but, I was about to say, should be almost like the other way around. Like, it should.
Of course. But I think that with everything that we've discussed on this podcast, we've noted that a lot of the proposals have sometimes, if not often, been a solution to a problem or a solution to conflict. Yeah. And so that's what I mean by that. You know, with teenagers, I guess you could argue that his proposal was a little bit of a solution to conflict.
I know. I was about to say that because we did an episode back in 2022, I think summer of 2022, about proposals and engagements. And these, like all of them, but these are just specifically the ones in spring, but that all proposals kind of happen in a time of conflict or turmoil and as a solution to whatever's going on. And Dave's is as well.
I think that's, again, the reason why he comes to Mrs. Kim with this speech is because he's saying, you know, I know that you're upset. I know that you're mad at us, but here's who I am. This is everything that I could possibly give to you to tell you that I'm going to, like, your daughter is in good hands with me. And, you know, I don't know that he necessarily would have done that if there wasn't conflict, or I don't think he would have felt like he had to do that if there wasn't conflict. You know what I mean?
No, so, I mean, he just would have gone with her. They would have just, she would have just said, okay, I'm going to go with Dave.
There you go. Yeah. But yes, I do think this was very sincere, but I also think Jackson's was very sincere. I also think that Lorelai's was very sincere. The ones where I don't think they're as sincere is maybe Max. I think by the time he got her the yellow daisies, maybe there was some sincerity to that. But I think that, again, it was a solution of the problem. It was a way to say, you're mine. Like, I want everybody to know you're mine.
And it's like they were actually literally fighting. And he was like, let's get married. And it's like, oh, okay. So like that wouldn't feel like wrong, because it really felt like a solution to end the fight. And I don't think that's a good solution to ever end a fight.
Yeah. And I think with Suki Logan's, and sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying with Suki and Jackson's, I felt like it was kind of similar, where it was like, we should move in together. Or like, we shouldn't move in together. We should just get married. And it's like, they kind of been like arguing almost, and that this is kind of how it ends. And it's not like in any way similar to Max and Lorelai, because like they were like already on that path, and like Suki really wanted to move in together.
1000% on that path. Yeah. Whereas I feel like Max and Lorelai, it was a solution to the problem. I don't feel like with Jackson and Suki, it was a solution to the problem. It was
the next step.
Yeah. Like it was almost like, you know, when you're walking up a set of stairs and you choose to like walk up like two steps instead, like you skip a step.
I do know that, yeah.
Thank you so much for demonstrating.
It's okay. I explained walking in a recent Patreon episode.
That's what I heard. I read that on our Patreon comments. I was like, oh, I don't remember that. But
yeah, I defined walking to you, putting one foot in front of the other and getting from place to place. That's what I said.
Well, thank you.
It's true.
That is walking. But with like skipping a step when you kind of are going, you're moving at a similar pace.
Yeah.
It's just that you're choosing to skip a step. And I feel like for them, that's where they were at. They were like, why move in together when we're also like, we're so ready to get married?
Yeah.
And I think that his delivery was so adorable. I love it all. And very different than Max being like, because they were not ready to get married.
No.
In any way, shape, or form. They had been dating for 5 minutes. And he was like, let's get married. Because I saw you with another guy. And that made me feel a certain kind of way. So let's get married.
Because I don't want to see you with any other guy. I don't know.
Totally.
Lots of thoughts on that.
And with Logan, I do feel like it was heartfelt. But because it was just so out of pocket and written by people that I just don't think had any business writing that storyline for that character, I just can't get behind it.
No, I've never been able to. We've talked extensively about that.
Everybody knows where we stand on that. But which of these would you want?
The Jackson.
In terms, you'd want the Jackson, me too.
The Suki Jackson. Because it's just like, of all of them, it's just like the sweetest. It's the most casual. It's calm.
It's
also,
it's just the two of them.
Yeah, they're like around a bunch of people.
And Luke's as well. But like, agree. It's just very sweet. It's very casual. There's nothing wrong with this buildup. And I know people do, like you said, flash mobs for not just promposals, but proposals.
And I hate that.
I thought when I was younger, I wanted something like that. I wanted something grandiose. I wanted to be proposed to in front of the fucking Eiffel Tower.
Like, if someone did a flash mob in front of the Eiffel Tower, do you really think younger you would have been like, that's perfect?
Yeah.
That's like my nightmare. Truly, I think I've had a nightmare about
now
that.
Now that is my nightmare. But I think at the time I was like, I wanted everything to be big. And yeah. There is just nothing sweeter to me, because a proposal is really about two people.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah. It's about the two people. I will say that I don't mind Zach and Lane's proposal. I know that it was
really
in front. Yeah. I know that it was diner? In front of the diner. And I know it was in front of everybody, but it was in front of people that know Lane. He does really put her on the spot. And I don't necessarily think she should have said yes. But knowing the direction that it's going in, the thing is that I feel like Zach is just like a giant baby, but I appreciate confirmed. And respect the fact that he walked in, owned the fact that he fucked up, and then was like, I want to marry you.
It's not giving Max to you, though.
No, because Zach actually went away and thought about it.
Yeah.
I know Max takes a step away and thinks about it and comes back with the yellow daisies. But no.
It's like I'm always expecting the bare minimum, like below the floor standard from Zach. So like,
I know.
Maybe that's plays into it too. Because yeah. Like, to that effect, the Lorelai one, I kind of appreciate her proposing to him, because what Luke is like exuding and explaining in that moment is what you want from a partner. It's like someone who is like all in 100% on the things that you care about. And he's like, we're getting Rory back to school. Like, yeah. She is not dropping out. I will drag her from class to class. We will make a schedule. And she's just like,
yeah, she's just watching him. Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I do love that proposal. I really do.
Yeah.
With Zach, I put it a notch above Max's, only because I do think he took a step back to think about it. Do I think he necessarily needed to ambush her with that? No. Do I think that that's a solution to a problem? No. Do I think they have things they need to work on? 1,000%. Yes. But I don't necessarily mind it. Like, all of these are with Logan's is at the bottom of the barrel for me.
Yeah.
It's like Logan. If I had to rank them, it would be Logan at the bottom, then Max, then Zach, then Lorelai and Luke, then Suki and Jackson.
I think that's a good list.
That's what it would be for me.
I think that mine is the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and that's the thing, is that Zach and Lane's is just mid for me.
It's just, it's like,
yeah.
It's Zach and
I'm Lane. Happy that Lane is getting what she seemingly wants. Do I think she should have said yes? No. But I'm happy that she's getting what she wanted from this person that she seems to want to spend the rest of her life with. So,
yeah. Of them, though, Max and Jackson offer the most springish of proposals. Like,
they really
that, like,
do.
The vibe, because it's like kind of like wedding season. It like feels romantic because like everything's blooming. So you want to like propose to someone in front of a cherry tree, the cherry blossoms, mm-hmm. with a field of tulips behind them. Like, that's
true.
With a thousand yellow daisies.
I was going to say, the only reason that I would maybe put Max and Zach's neck and neck is because I do love the proposal with the daisies. Okay. I do love that he takes something that she says in like, no, this is all wrong. This is all wrong. What are you doing? It should be this, 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 and this. And he delivers that to her and says, I do really want this with you. I don't know that I believe him. Like, I think he believes it.
He totally believes it.
But I don't think that that was the best solution to a problem. So maybe I actually take back what I said and I put them neck and neck.
Could you maybe do Logan at the bottom and then Max
initial
at Lorelai's
proposal?
House,
mm-hmm.
Zach, and then Daisy's?
Max at the Independence Inn? Yes, that's probably what I would do.
Yeah, I think that's right. Where I would go too.
We split them in two because it is kind of two different proposals. That's what I would do.
Yeah, I think you're so right. As well.
Because I love that moment. I love that he gives that to us. Like, it is iconic. I love the image of her on the phone standing in the room full of daisies. Like, it's just so great. You know what other proposal? We don't know how it went down, but it does present itself in the spring. Dean and Lindsay.
Oh my gosh, you're so right.
It just occurred to me.
I think they were at the arcade and he was like, let's get married. I don't have any more quarters. Do you?
I hope so. I really hope it was that.
Well, it's like, it's buy one, get one free, but like only if we buy. So like if we split the first one, we get the second one free together, but only if we're married.
Uh-huh. Hey, do you want to get married?
You want to get married?
No, I really think what happened, and we've talked about this, is that she watched him get into the fight with Jess. They had a conversation about it, and that was when he proposed to her.
Yeah.
So once again,
I like the arcade story better.
I do too. Very vividly painted. Thank you. I just think that when it comes to proposals, something that is intimate is always better.
Always the way to go. Yeah.
And I think if you're going to make a grand gesture, I think Max's was pretty grand. And I do think that that would give me cause to be like, wow, this person's serious. Look at all these flowers.
Totally. Can you see all these flowers? There's no way that they're joking here.
Exactly.
They're in it.
Business. They are all in. They're standing on business. They're all in.
Sounds really expensive, honestly.
But yeah, I think that I too would prefer the intimacy that comes with Suki and Jackson's proposal or Lorelai and Luke's. I agree with you that I love that Lorelai is just watching him, and I love watching her soften as she's so concerned.
I know.
And the sees camera him.
Stays on her. Like, I can't wait to get there. We're almost to season too. Five. We're almost,
we're
the
almost
end of it.
There. And I just love watching her face as she watches him. Oh, I'm getting chilly. Yeah, they're both really good. And I think that I would want either one of those things. Yeah. I used to want the grand gesture. And now I think that scaling down is...
You know, but as far as grand gestures go, I would still accept the Max flowers one. Because that was like...
Me too.
Please take over my place of work with flowers.
Yes.
And like only
if you're
going to
go grand gesture, that's the grand gesture. Yeah. Do something for me that you know that I want or you know that I like. Not something you think is going to be the flashiest. I don't think Max did that because it was flashy. Grand and flashy don't have to be synonymous.
He did it because she said it. That's what she wanted.
Yes, totally. Anyway, which wedding of these would be your cup of tea?
I want to pick Suki's because it's like so nostalgic. It's at the Independence Inn. It's like, I know that like that's... It's the kiss. But I just love Liz's wedding. I love the flowers. You know, last night I was having this like conundrum. I was about to watch Last Week Fights This Week Tights to get into the mood, to get into the mode.
Yeah.
And I just like, I like hemmed and hawed over it because I was like, we were about to get there on Patreon because this week is episode 18 after, or tick, 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 boom. Oh my gosh, too many
tick,
ticks.
Tick, 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 boom.
Exactly. Is this Friday, or it was last Friday rather. Sorry, I got my dates mixed up. This week is after Boom. I know what's going on. We're about to get there. And I was like, ooh, do I want to watch it before we actually are going to talk about it? Because like, I want it to be fresh. I want it to be there. And so I decided not to watch it, especially because we were like getting like answers. We asked a question on an Instagram story about spring and everyone was sending in all these things. I was like, oh my God, I want to watch that episode so bad.
I know.
Because it's like the flower crown and reflecting light. And like, I love that like they come up on like the little, is it a little carriage that they come up in?
Yeah.
And like, Jess is there and he's walking Liz down the aisle and the flowers and the Renaissance Festival and just like, it's so nice. I love
it. It's really nice.
So I'm gonna pick that one even, and I didn't watch it specifically. I wanted to, but I decided to save it for Patreon for our pals.
I understand. I have a tough time now. Well, Brett and I are kind of slowly approaching like the middle of season four, and I want us to get there because I notice so many things when we're watching together because I'm so intent, whereas when I'm watching for Patreon, I'm there to take notes, right? And there's just something different about really absorbing everything while you're watching it with someone who's never seen it before because you notice every nook and cranny.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get us caught up so that I can do like that watch and then take notes. But I understand because you want it to be fresh. You want it to be like right there for you to kind of pull from. But I love that wedding. I think that it is so cute. I love that there are so many touches of Liz and TJ. Yeah. I'm not a Renaissance fair person when it comes to, like, I would attend one, but it's not like my cup of tea as far as a theme that I would pick for my wedding.
Oh, yes.
So I would have to say Suki's. But what I do love about Liz and TJ's wedding is I love them getting married in front of the gazebo. So a la, you know, Luke and Lorelai getting married in the gazebo. That's actually kind of my dream, is to like in the middle of the night, just be like, we're going to get married.
Oh my gosh. And have a
it would be so fun.
A little gazebo wedding with just you and your daughters in her pajamas. And then actually, and you're dressed up for some reason.
But actually do it the next day in front of everybody else. I think it's so fun.
I can marry you. About I'm ordained.
Perfect. You're ordained. Great. Yeah. But we're talking about spring weddings. Suki's for me, bar none, the best. I love the center of town gazebo dancing in the town square to reflecting light. Like, I'd like to just take that out of it.
Luke
be like,
well, waltz.
Luke can waltz. Like, it'd be very fun to have your reception in the town square. To be like, we're going to get married in the backyard of the Independence Inn, which is very important to Suki. Like, a place that is very important to you. Get married there and then have the reception in the Times Square, in the town square.
In Times Square?
Not Times Square. I do not want I do not want any of like the Cookie Monster or Elmo or King Kong. I don't want any of them there.
Naked Cowboy. Oh, wow. No, I think it kind of feel like Hammers and Veils, Lorelai's bachelor. No, not
that's
bachelor,
what I want.
Her bridal shower.
Her bridal shower. I love when the two of them are sitting in the middle of everything. And we'll talk about that for summer. But like, I love that. And I love the girls dancing in the gazebo. And Love Will Keep Us Together by Captain and Tennille is playing. I just love it. It's so cute. Oh,
yeah. I love it too. But I know that you love Suki's wedding simply also because of the episode of like little kiss.
Little kiss.
But the circumstance of like, it's Suki's wedding. And like, I think one of the reasons that Liz's wedding kind of stands out to me is because we really see that one unfold. Mm. Whereas with
Suki and Jackson, we don't see it. We just see all the fanfare happening around it. We get to see some of the aesthetic, but the context, we don't actually get to see the wedding itself. Yeah, you're right.
So I think that is part of it, but I do love her dress and the cake and everything surrounding it.
The one thing I would take from Lane's wedding is the tearaway dress.
Yeah, or the yummy bartenders.
Yeah. I think that is so fun. I also love that there is I love that there is the balance of catering to your family and giving them what they want.
Yeah.
And also having the flair of what you want.
Yeah. That's kind of what my sister-in-law and brother did. I don't know why I led with sister-in-law. I should have led with brother.
I always do as well, even though Chase is your brother.
He is my brother.
Mandy being your sister-in-law. I don't know why. I always
default
at the forefront.
I love him dearly. But we had like a little bit of like a family wedding beforehand, and I married them in our backyard before we went to Italy for like the wedding that they wanted. So I think that's always fun to have, like, you know, make sure that your family feels included, because like I know that like a engagement is about the two of you, but like a marriage is bringing two families together, and I think that is really important to have all of them there, like if they can't be, you know, going to Italy. That's kind of like, so I think that it's nice what Lane did for her mom. She didn't have to, because there was that separation, but she still did it, and I love that.
No, I really liked it. Me too.
Yeah. But you're going to a wedding soon. I feel like
I am going to a wedding next week. I'm very excited.
You're falling perfectly into spring.
I really am. And it's funny. So it's going to be kind of like, rock and roll, kind of like Zach and Lane.
She's going to have a tearaway dress?
She's not going to have a tearaway dress. So Brett's sister Scarlett is getting married next week. When this is airing, I believe she will be getting married
this weekend.
Yeah. Okay. I'm like, what day is it? What time is it? Where am I? I'm in New York.
We're right here.
So in a couple days, by the time this airs, I will be leaving to go to New Orleans. Basically what they're doing, which I love, is they got engaged at the end of January, middle end of January, and they're getting married next week. So they just were like, 50 friends, let's go to a chapel in New Orleans. And
this is where she's from.
Yes. They kind of threw everything together very fast, which I love. Nancy, Brett's mom, of course, is handling so much. She's having the best time, I think. I hope. I hope you're okay.
I hope you're okay, Nancy.
But she came here, Nancy. She came to New York to go dress shopping with Scarlett during Super Bowl weekend. So we came and celebrated Nancy and her husband Tim's birthdays. And we, you know, Scarlett and her mom, they went dress shopping and they found this amazing dress at Anthropologie. And it's a gown.
Oh my gosh, I love Beholden.
Beholden is so great. And so they found this amazing dress. Of course, the only one that they had left to order was in her size. So it was perfect.
Of course. Fate, as they call it.
Fate. They find this beautiful gown. And she is chopping it into a mini dress. Like,
oh my gosh, like my dream.
Very 1960s. And I love it. chopping it, and they are turning the excess fabric into this beautiful bubble coat. Like, Scarlett ordered this 1960s pattern from, I believe, Etsy or just somewhere on the internet to make this beautiful, like, 1960s bubble coat. And she sent it off to somebody to make. And I am
That's so cool, excited.
She's just like, her and Dave are like, her fiance are like the coolest people I know. And Scarlett's also gorgeous and could wear, like, she could wear a potato sack and look stunning. Like, that is the kind of person that she is. And I just love that she is incorporating so much of her personality into this wedding. So it is not a tearaway, but it is very like short mini dress.
She
like,
tore we were taking away
this gown.
Prior to.
She is taking this and making it her own, which I think is very fun. And they're both like, Dave is a musician. They're very like, they're artists and they're just, they're so cool. They're two of the coolest people I know. And I'm really excited to see how they've like taken this and incorporated like every bit of their personality into it. And we get to spend a few days in New Orleans. It's going
to
be great.
Yeah, that's so spring of you to go to a wedding. But I feel like that's so Gilmore Girls too, because I feel like each of these weddings like really speaks to the personality of the person. Of like Lane's wedding, like of course Liz's and Suki's being like very classic at the Independence Inn. Fake Mia, like it's at her house and somewhere other state where we
that
don't like
very
care about.
Personal. She was like, you know, this is me. I'm getting married at my house. I think that's very personalized to who she is and her new husband. And we wish them all the best. But we'd like to know where real Mia is. So.
What have you done with real Mia?
Who are you? And what have you done with real Mia?
Exactly.
Anyway, speaking of weddings, there are a lot of life changes that happen in these spring episodes, specifically opening an inn, grand opening of a business, because Taylor, of course, tries to open the soda shop. The grand opening is canceled.
I love that part. That's one of my favorite Taylor moments.
There are, interestingly, a handful of funerals that happen as well. Fran passes in the spring. Old man Twickham passes in the spring. Gran passes kind of in the spring. Yeah, the spring. Third Lorelei is a little bit like winter cusp.
Yeah, winter cusp.
It's before Girls in Bikinis, yeah?
Yeah.
So, but also there are a lot of graduations.
Yeah, it feels like just like a moment of like, you know, new beginnings, like you said, but like things coming to an end, or you're making big life choices because like the season's ending and they got to draw us in next year. But I was trying to think about like how to incorporate that into your own life. And maybe like now is the time to revisit your New Year's resolutions. Now that are longer.
Yeah.
The sun is out. Like, it just feels like the time to like, now you can maybe make your life changes now that you've like hibernated. Because we're
starting, the bears are.
The bears are, so we can do it.
They're just waking up. So
they're just waking up. So like we're just getting started and that's fine. Because I feel like we're both kind of doing like big, like I guess businessy things, as you would say. You started your new podcast and just like her, and that's getting underway. I'm working on editing my book. And I feel like it's just like us moving into new things, doing your little New Year's resolutions in like the new season. Change with the seasons, if you will.
Yeah, springtime is the time to kind of you kind of spend, not to break it down into business talk, but like quarter one, evaluating what your year is going to look like. And admittedly, when it comes to my New Year's resolutions, I like to name my year and I like to kind of set some intentions, but I don't really make resolutions. I haven't really felt like I've gotten started with that. And speaking to the year of sage, which is what I decided my year was going to be, I feel like the green kind of coming out in the springtime feels like the blossoming of this year of sage for me. I feel like I've still been in hibernation mode. I've still been in kind of a little bit of survival mode these first couple months. And now I feel like everything is starting to bloom.
Yeah, there's a song on Kacey Musgraves' new album called Jade Green that I feel like would fit very well into your sage year and like what it is going to be, because she just released a new album that I feel like would fit very well with you.
Well, okay. I will check it out.
Give it a little listen. You know, with mine, I feel like I'm bursting at the seams to change my color and like change my intention for the year.
Really?
Yes. I'm not going to, but okay. I think that it's very indicative that the lavender year is working, because it's like supposed to be very like settling, relaxed, healing. And I think that like part of me is like wanting to be like, okay, we're done, next thing. But I want to like actually take the time and like make that like sustainable before I move on. And yeah, like I really want to, I already have my color picked out for next year, which I already mentioned.
I know
you
do.
But I'm like, so like part of me is like, I'm just going to change it. I'm just mid-year change. And I'm like, no, part of like the lavender year is like slowly building towards the next thing so that like the foundation of this is sturdy and stable and won't fall
mm-hmm.
down
mm-hmm.
when I build I things on top of it.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Well, at least you have a color for next year.
I do.
So, you've got such a head start.
I'm so prepared. I feel like maybe if you didn't pick a color, this would be a good time because it's spring. There's so many colors out and about.
Yeah, I think it's the perfect time to kind of check in with yourself, reevaluate what your intentions were at the beginning of this year, because it can feel so exciting. A new year, first week of January, like, okay, here we go, 2024.
And then like, by the third day, you're like, it's still cold.
It's still cold
and dark.
The days are dark. Yeah, I feel like, especially with daylight savings and the days getting longer and the sun being out, it just gives you a lot more hope, optimism, and encouragement to kind of go through whatever changes you want to or need to. You don't have to, but I don't know. I agree. I think that it's a really good time to kind of reevaluate where you're at and check in with yourself and say, what do I want my intentions to be?
And I think the Gilmore Girls do that too, because in like season three, Rory's graduating, but Lorelai is deciding to open an inn, and that comes to fruition at the end of season four, which we're about to get to. I'm so excited. And it doesn't have to be like your season finale, you know, nothing dramatic has to happen, but maybe you're just making a change at the end of this season that we will see at the end of next season, and see how you change through your own season four before you open your inn. The inn in your life. Whatever that may be.
In your heart.
The inn in your heart. Don't open an inn in your heart. That sounds highly illogical and very unhealthy.
A little dangerous. But on that note, we wanted to list off some of the honorable mentions from our kind of listing season that we've had this year of listing how to have a Gilmore Girls fall, how to have a Gilmore Girls winter. We listed a bunch of things that happen in the spring.
Big life changes that you could choose from. We don't condone them, but we did want to gather them up if there was something that you felt drawn toward.
Because
the Gilmore Girls certainly did.
Yeah. So of course we have, you know, what we just listed was getting engaged, sending someone flowers, going on a picnic. But we also have separate from your husband.
Of course. Have an affair. That one's, drop out of school.
Drop out of school, steal a yacht, go to jail. You know what I was thinking about yesterday? You know when they have those memes that are usually like, take that chance, eat that second piece of cake, go get yourself a drink. And then it's just like, you know, like really encouraging. But then they have like parody ones that are like, you know, take that
run away, to the woods,
burn someone's house down. Yeah. This is what this felt like. It was like, separate from your husband,
have a picnic,
steal a yacht. Go to jail.
Tutor someone into a car accident.
Exactly.
Skip your mother's graduation by following your not boyfriend to the big city.
Yeah. Kiss someone who's not your boyfriend. Maybe in front of a lake.
At a wedding.
Get beaked by a swan.
Yeah. Get beaked by a swan. There's so many things you could do this spring. We encourage you to make the right choice for you and for those around you. Mm-hmm. But we will let you decide which lists you would like to choose from.
It's true.
It's spring. Bloom how you see fit.
Yes. But speaking of spring and speaking of all the things you can do to have a Gilmore Girls spring, one of our favorite episodes that we talked about extensively here on this episode is A Tisket a Tasket. And what we've decided to do is release our Gilmore Revisited version of A Tisket a Tasket that we released, gosh, was it last year or the year before?
I think it was 2022. I think it was the year. And I was actually really surprised that we hadn't released that episode on pod, because I know it's one of your favorite ones, and that's kind of how we like to choose those, is like big ones that like are in the series that everyone loves, but also like our favorites. Mm-hmm. So I was surprised that we hadn't. And feels like the first perfect time to put it out there. It's spring. It's your fave. Don't remember what we said.
Not a clue.
But
can't
really
wait to listen.
Convinced this is when I was in my Jess era. I think so. Could have been.
Well, we'll have to see. And we'll have more to say on that in the next episode.